From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. And on this day, we'll look at what Maine's U.S. senators had to say today to CIA head nominee Gina Haspel, and why some Maine schools are concerned about a decreasing number of foreign students coming in. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
As we've been hearing today, President Trump's choice to head the CIA faced a grilling from members of the Senate Intelligence Committee during her controversial confirmation hearing. Committee members questioned Gina Haspel about her 33-year career with the intelligence agency around the world and the use of interrogation and torture techniques during that time. As Mal Leary reports, among those with pointed questions were Maine Senators Susan Collins and Angus King.
President Donald Trump has said he believes torture works. But during questioning for the committee Wednesday, Haspel says she does not. Still, there was no shortage of questions for the nominee. Republican Senator Susan Collins asked Haspel about her involvement in the creation of the interrogation unit at the CIA following the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
Were you involved in any way in the creation of the enhanced interrogation program?
Senator, I was not, and I was not read into the program until about a year into its existence.
Collins, who co-sponsored the legislation that outlawed waterboarding, told Haspel she considers the technique torture, along with other so-called enhanced interrogation techniques like sleep deprivation. Collins also asked Haspel what she would do if President Trump gave her a direct order to waterboard a suspect who had high-value information.
And the president gave you a direct order to waterboard that suspect. What would you do?
Senator, I would advise, I do not believe the president would ask me to do that.
In answering a follow-up question, Haspel said she would not restart an interrogation program at the CIA under any circumstance. Independent Senator Angus King asked Haspel about her role in the destruction of videotapes of the CIA's waterboarding of prisoners. He asked specifically about a cable that Haspel drafted at the request of her then-boss, who made the decision.
Was that cable copied to Mr. Rizzo or other lawyers within the agency?
Senator, there was robust coordination with the lawyers at CIA
on this
issue.
Were they copied on the cable?
Mr. Rodriguez chose not to copy the lawyers on the cable because he took the decision on his own authority.
King said other lawyers in government, including two White House chief counsels, the vice president's lawyer, and the director of national intelligence, had all expressed the opinion that destruction of the tapes was illegal. King also expressed concern that Haspel determined what information the CIA would give the committee concerning her nomination.
Who's deciding?
We are following the existing
guidelines. Who's we?
Well, I have chosen to follow the guidelines that exist
so
for
you
the
are
RDI
the,
information.
You are making the classification decisions about what material should be released to this committee?
I am electing not to make an exception for myself.
After the public hearing, the committee met in private session to ask Haspel questions about classified operations she was involved in during her lengthy career at the CIA. The panel has not scheduled a vote on the nomination, which will then go to the full Senate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Voters in Waterville will decide on June 12th whether or not to recall Republican Mayor Nick Isgro. Isgro's come under fire for a history of inflammatory social media posts, but it was an insulting tweet to a Parkland school shooting survivor that triggered critics into launching a recall petition. The Waterville City Council set the election date at its meeting yesterday. Ward 4 Councilor Sidney Mayhew says he's not happy about the recall. He says recalling a mayor over social media comments sets a poor precedent. He He says the offense should be something greater to warrant such an action.
On the basis of a criminal charge, whether it be embezzlement, whether it be fraud, or a felony.
But Hillary Koch, one of the leaders of the recall effort, says the charter does not limit the reasons a mayor can be recalled.
The primary task of our mayor is to act as a good ambassador for Waterville, and that he needs to lead by example. And I feel like he's failed on both of those counts.
Isgro has questioned the validity of the recall petition effort. A new draft big game management plan's out, and the people who developed it say they are largely happy with Maine's current hunting regulations as long as animal populations remain healthy and robust. Jody Camuso, wildlife director for the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, or IF&W, said opinions from hunters, non-hunters, and landowners were sampled to help IF&W craft future policies to manage the state's bear, moose, deer, and turkeys.
You know, it's a big plan, and there's a lot. It outlines a lot of different sort of things for us to do. So we're going to have to prioritize which projects we take on, you know, in the immediate term, then sort of the short term, and then the nearer to long term.
The department will provide a 30-day comment period on the plan. It's posted on the IF&W website. And the number of young people in Maine has been declining for decades. The trend concerns many independent and private town academies in the state. Some have lost up to a quarter of their students over the last 10 years. To try to increase enrollment and revenue, those schools have tried recruiting students from other countries. But Robbie Feinberg reports increased competition and federal immigration policy are now making it harder for schools to find students.
Early on a Friday morning, teacher Erin Fitz walks to the front of her history classroom at Maine Central Institute in Pittsfield, west of Bangor. She introduces the topic of the day, the Cuban Missile Crisis. The students watch a film. Fitz asked them to imagine what it must have been like to live through that tense historic moment back in 1962.
Think about, in this case, you've just found out there are nuclear missiles off our border. What do you think your response would be?
A student from Russia named Ina then moves the conversation in a way you wouldn't necessarily expect in a classroom in rural Maine, where many schools are still overwhelmingly white and full of local residents. She tells the class that in her home country, the crisis was seen differently, with most news coming from the government.
Compared to like the Soviet person who has not known like what is going on during what was going on, just we call it the iron curtain. Yeah.
Discussions like this aren't necessarily unique at MCI. The school has brought in dozens of international students over the past two decades, and teacher Erin Fitz says they've transformed her classroom.
It's a really sort of neat thing that I didn't have when I was a student here, and to be able to see it and to utilize it in my classroom, it's really sort of, it's a new challenge. It's a wonderful challenge to be able to see students work like that.
And the benefits aren't just cultural. Maine International Trade Center President Wade Merritt says the extra tuition money has helped some private and independent schools keep their doors open in the face of declining enrollment.
As far as being able to bring in different programs, more AP programs, bringing in academic competition, raising the profile or the achievement of the domestic students, that sort of thing.
But after years of growth, the number of international students at Maine secondary schools has fallen by more than 6% over the past 2 years. That's according to federal data from the Department of Homeland Security. Some schools say they've lost as many as 30 international students, which could mean losing hundreds of thousands of dollars in tuition revenue.
It's more difficult now for those reasons.
MCI Director of Admissions Clint Williams says many reasons have led to the declining enrollment at his school, with the largest being more competition for students. William says when MCI began to recruit students from countries like China 20 years ago, it was one of only a few schools in the international market. However, a flood of new institutions have since jumped in too, with many charging lower tuition. Public schools, religious schools, Canadian and Australian schools. William says some investors are now even building American-style institutions in China.
I'm seeing hundreds of international schools being built in China as well, which keeps the kids in China.
There's also the issue of changing immigration policies under a new presidential administration. Abigail Gagnon, the director of admissions at Sacco's Thornton Academy, says as soon as President Trump was elected in 2016, she was peppered with questions from prospective parents. Would their child be able to get a visa to the United States, or would it get canceled?
We have a lot of students from Mexico. Certainly, that gets brought up. So families have concerns, and I think none of us know what the future holds. Here, there's been some talk about reducing the number of student visas, and, you know, so there's a lot of talk, but nobody knows exactly where it's going to go.
Add it all up, and many independent schools now face tough budget questions. Maine Central Institute headmaster Christopher Hopkins recently sent a letter to parents saying that the school was reducing staff due to declining international numbers. And University of Southern Maine Vice President Nancy Davis Griffin says plans stopped to build an international high school on its Gorham campus last fall.
We were concerned about changes with abilities to get visas and such, if we would be able to yield international students and how long they would be with us.
A few schools, like Thornton Academy, have been able to push through the recent headwinds and grow, largely by looking towards new countries to recruit. And at Lee Academy, headmaster Gus LeBlanc says his school has embraced new revenue streams.
We can't just depend upon domestic enrollment. We can't just depend on international kids coming to our school enrollment. We've got to look at other revenue sources and streams to make sure we're viable.
Like international campuses. Right now, the Academy is scouting sites to build international schools within countries like Vietnam. It may be a difficult market, but even with declining enrollment, officials say they plan to stay the course and keep recruiting, some even harder, to ensure their schools survive. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.